This is Screen Divers. In this week's episode, we are talking about Hot Shots, directed by Jim Abrahams, written by Jim Abrahams, produced by Bill Badalato, starring Charlie Sheen, it's the only Italian name and I'm fucking that up.
Yep.
Okay, wait a second.
Ballerina.
Starring Charlie Sheen, Gary Oldes, Valeria Golino, John Cryer, Kevin Dunn, Bill Irwin, Lloyd Bridges, and a ton of other character actors. Cinematography by Bill Butler, edited by Jane Curson, music by Sylvester Levi, who did an incredible job in this movie that didn't really need the score to go this hard, and distributed by 20th Century Fox. This movie came out in 1991. It has a running time of 84 minutes. It was made for $26 million, and it made $181 million. How are you guys?
I am good.
And I'm fine.
There we go. It's great.
That's great.
It's great.
Let me open this episode by telling our listeners that we are going to take a week, maybe 2 week break, because we're on holidays. So enjoy this episode and go listen to the rest of the episodes. Then go to our Facebook page and follow us, because if you do that, we'll continue to make more episodes. And then, if you've got a little bit of energy left, go to Spotify, go to Apple Podcasts, go to YouTube, and just give us a like and a follow, because it's important. With that aside, a very important question needs to be asked. Ricky, what's this movie about?
The Top Gun Naval Fighter Weapons School is where the best of the best train... Oh, wait, hold on. I'm doing the plot for Top Gun. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Yeah, it says reckless attitude and cocky demeanor put him at odds with other pilots, especially the cool and collected Iceman. Oh, wait, his name's not Iceman in this one. Yeah, you know, Cary Elwes, that guy.
Can you believe it? Can you believe this movie doesn't have a volleyball scene in it?
I really can't believe it.
Fucking insane.
It would have been perfect.
I mean, they had a pool table in one shot, and I thought, when I probably first thought about it, when I first saw this after watching Top Gun, I thought to myself, maybe the pool table will become like the volleyball court. That would have been fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you know what it is. I think Jim Abrahams really wanted to be politically correct, and that's why he called the enemy fighter pilots Baklava, Peter, Hummus, Baba Ganoush, Couscous, Tahini, Tabbouleh, and Kebab, spelled as Kebab.
Kebab.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
And in the marketing, they actually state Saddam Hussein, played by Saddam Hussein, but it wasn't.
Dude, this is one of the few movies with crazy credits, by the way. I mean,
oh, I love it. That's why I sent that post.
You did. Yeah. You sent me the first one was Things to Do.
The first one is not Things to Do.
No. I know that there are several, but you sent me one screenshot. And the one you sent is Things to Do After You Watch This Movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that. Then there are two recipes.
Yeah.
Which actually we can easily assign, because I looked online, I couldn't find anything else. There's no other movie ever, allegedly, that has recipes in the credits. This is the only one. So we have recipes for brownies. And what's the other one? Nobby buns.
My favorite bit of the credits is the spoiler for another film. Did you see that one?
No.
It says, Secret of the Crying Game. She's a guy. Yeah.
What a busted move, dude. Neil Jordan must have been pissed, because it's not that far off. No. You know that there was a warning on the back of that. I remember on the back of the VHS. And there was another movie that had a warning, which was The Sixth Sense. It's like, please don't spoil I think on the back of the jacket that I remember reading it, there was a warning
to
spoil
the movie.
And
of course, there's the classic one, Psycho. There was a trailer where Alfred Hitchcock pretty much said, like, if you're going to come see this film, please keep it all to yourself. And it's quite a classic trailer, and it's one of those trailers that has been spoofed and parodied over and over again. But yeah, it's funny how, like, spoilers... We are very precious over spoilers nowadays.
I don't know why, because people... I mean, they spoil a movie in the trailer, so yeah. Social media will just give you everything before. That's why I try to stay off it, but it's impossible. Mm. Another thing, dude, the crazy credits are funny, but it's the first time that I actually see something that actually made me laugh out loud in this one. And it's right before the credits for THX. So the last bit of the credits, just like THX or whatever, like shot in Panavision, all of that is right at the end. And if you stay until the end, right until the end, it says, if you had left, you would have been home by now. If you had left at the beginning of the credits, you would have been home by now.
Yeah.
What were you saying, Steve?
That's what I was going to say. Because you quite literally just stole it. You're a cunt.
Yeah, I know. I know. Fuck the editor.
That was my favorite.
Yeah, yeah, that was the best one. That was the best one.
But there was, I do want to say something, which is something at the end of a movie where he turns around and goes, I'm going to Disney.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know. Which literally, quite literally, 20th Century Fox ended up going to Disney.
Yeah. No one foresaw that.
But I also like the fact that he's holding a bundle of cash when he says this. it's funny. It's still funny. I mean, some jokes don't hit. And I also forgot about basically, first of all, Lloyd Bridges alone carries this fucking movie. Because there's, I'm going to tell you a story, guys. I thought about it today. I was doing the dishes right after I watched this morning at the last moment. And I thought, should I tell this story on the podcast? I'm going to. One of my favorite jokes in this involves Lloyd Bridges' character, who plays Admiral Benson. Is that his name?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Admiral Benson.
There's a bit right before they take off the first time, and there's a big, you know, epic sequence of all the jets, which, by the way, that's commendable. And, you know, there's a lot of aerial photography in this. There were actual pilots there. So it's not just green screen or blue screen or whatever it was called at the time. Back in 1991. But there's a joke in this, and I laughed really hard until I got an actual flashback. Lloyd Bridges is in the command tower, and he remarks the fact that one of the fighter jets taking off is very loud because he had an injury. And one of the operators goes, here, take these. He eats the earplugs and washes them down and swallows them. Now, I laughed, but then I remember that in 1996, I was at a rave. And someone handed me something. And I may have been intoxicated back then because I was a young man. Someone gave me something, and I thought it was a top-up. I took a big swig of water, and then I saw my two friends mouth open, saying nothing, but I couldn't hear anything anyway. And I went, what? They go, and they started fucking laughing. I swallowed the earplugs that were passed on to me because I couldn't hear anything. So someone went out of the way to get me some earplugs, and I ate them.
That's the sort of asshole you are, though.
I know.
I want earplugs. These are not good enough.
Mate, that's not the worst part of the story.
Oh, here we go.
The worst part of the story is that I spend the next 16 hours off my fucking face waiting, panicking, because I had to go to the bathroom. That entire post-story, like post the event, I'm not going to share that story, but that was very unpleasant. I can tell you that. They did come out. They came
you,
out.
Did you? Did you?
No.
Did you do a Renton?
Don't ask. And I don't want to go back there.
Or did you get a sieve? And every time you
mate, can we talk about something else? All right, no. I'm leaving this in the
episode. You put it up now. It's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely no. Not to mention the fact that right after the laughter, like subsided, I ran to the bathroom, tried to fucking throw them up. That was a nightmare, dude. A fucking nightmare. It was it's a funny story now.
Were they the expandable foam type ones?
Oh my god! No, did they fill up your colon?
you know the story. During those rave years, dude. One time I was coming back in a car at 8 a.m. and I had a Nokia 3310 or whatever it was, one of those indestructible ones. Which, by the way, I managed to prove that they are destructible. I was in a car. My friend Jake was driving an Alfa Romeo, and I'm smoking a cigarette. My phone rings. I pick it up, and I keep smoking. He's driving next to me. All right, we're coming back from a rave at the docks in Melbourne. And the phone call's coming to an end because, you know, I think it was someone asking us where we were, and we were going to their place. The conversation comes to an end, but so is my cigarette, and I went, bye. And instead of throwing the cigarette out the window, I threw my fucking Nokia out of a moving car. To which I turned around, and I'm seeing my phone splattered on the road in a million pieces. And then I turned to the driver, it was Jake, and you can't believe it, he slams on the brakes. We're in silence, and then we started laughing manically. But that was an expensive lesson I've learned back then. That's many years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go back to the movie, man.
To the movie. I mean, so, like, you've gone on the Nokia discussion now. I mean,
I was going to say,
I can tell you can definitely break those phones, but you've got to put an effort into it.
I was going to say, there's a nice little Lloyd Bridges thing in the actual movie, which is he mentions.
Nice segue, Steve.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get out of this because we've got to try and get back to the movie.
Of course.
He basically mentions that he used to be a diver, and one of his first roles in 1959 was a TV series called Sea Hunt, where he was a diver.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
cool, black and white.
I recognize
John Polito.
Fuck you. I recognize
listeners, just go and listen to what episode was it?
I can't even remember. It was
Blood Simple. Go listen to Blood Simple, people.
Completely. So I actually recognized one of the filming locations without even a beat. And it was during the funeral because they used the Forever Cemetery, Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you guys been to it?
Is that what you're going to say?
I've never been to it.
Is it the same one from Face Off?
No. I believe so. Probably. Because of course it was. But I actually went. I went to that the Forever Cemetery when I was in LA last because...
Is it a set or is it an actual cemetery?
No, it's a real cemetery. Okay. And it's where they also do...
Are we going to say cemetery or cemetery?
We're going to say a pet cemetery.
Okay,
because I visited that the year after Chris Cornell took his own life. I happened to be in LA the year after.
It was an accidental death. I wouldn't say. Come on, it was an accidental death.
Mate,
it wasn't accidental. Well, it's debatable. You could say that he was in a state, you know.
He was in feeling, a state. Oh, okay, fine. We can do
he
that.
Was definitely he was filling Minnesota, dude. He was filling Minnesota.
Good, but at the same time. Anyway. Yeah. And so I went there the following year to go find his place of rest, which I did. On the way there, I actually saw three of the Ramones. I saw Mel Blanc.
That must have been terrifying, dude. They're dead.
Yeah, they were great. I was just, it was that funny thing where it's sort of like, I'm looking for this one thing. Hey, that one. Anyway. But it's a beautifully huge cemetery, and I would say to anybody who is visiting LA, like go and have a wander. You know, have a wander. There are some things that will surprise you in terms of, like, you'll look at something and you'll be like, "Who is this guy?" And then later on, you might go home and, like, or you might stand there looking on your phone like a mook. But it's a beautiful, beautiful area to go. There's, like, lovely waterways as well. Anyway, so that's, as soon as I saw that, which was during Dead Meat's funeral, I was like, oh, that's the Hollywood Forever Cemetery.
They've got no respect for the dead. That entire sequence is bugging. So,
that's hilarious. One of the reasons why I know that cemetery is Vampirella.
Vampire. There's a lot of Hollywood royalty probably buried there, right?
Which, for sure. It kind of also shows you what a shoestring budget they were making this film on, because they filmed everything in LA and everything was in driving distance of the Paramount Studios as much as possible. I think there was one location, which was San Diego. But then again, it's only an hour and a half drive, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. We should probably tell our listeners that originally we were going to do a two-parter here. So there was no, but I just thought, and maybe it was wrong. It was wrong of me to think that that was going to be overkill, because you would think that it would be with a movie like this, right? When it's gag, 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 joke, joke, joke. But as soon as I finished Hot Shots this morning, I started watching the second one. And I regretted my decision, because this is another possibly, and this is a big statement I'm going to make. You don't have to agree. Maybe you disagree. But I was 50 minutes in and I thought, holy shit. This falls under the category of a sequel that does it better than the first movie.
Yes, it does.
Because just the opening sequence with Saddam just going gun out. Yeah. It's slapstick 101 and it's so funny.
I'd like our listeners to also know that I suggested the idea of doing this as a double bill back to back because I knew what was coming up, that number two was better than number one.
Yeah.
Yes, and that statement could be applied. It could be taken out of context, but
then timings changed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we couldn't really get to do that.
Absolutely.
This week. Yeah.
You could also agree that, you know, holding number one for an extended period of time could be much more painful than holding a number two for two or three days. So there are differences.
This is also why this podcast has come to a screeching halt and we've talked about Umbo's raving days.
Holy shit. We are bearing all. let's go back to this movie. Valeria Golino.
There we go. Yeah. You got it. Hey.
Yes. Valeria Golino. I remember her the first time I saw her was in Rain Man, I think.
Yeah.
And I had to rewatch this movie to actually realize something. One of my early girlfriends, when I was still in Rome, looked exactly like her.
Are you flexing?
No.
He's flexing.
To be honest with you, I'm going to be, you know, labeling myself as an asshole for saying this, but her nose just put me off. I don't know what
it
was.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You're worse than I am.
Well, what the fuck?
She's got a classic Italian Roman nose, right?
But she is a beautiful woman. That goes without saying, of course. She's a movie star. What are you going to do?
Well, her eyes are stunning.
Beautiful eyes. I got to say that the entire piano sequence reminded me of Blue Velvet. I don't know why.
It just does feel like that.
Yeah.
Although that one little pause where she takes a sip and still singing, perfect.
It's brilliant. Yeah,
absolutely perfect.
When she falls off the piano as well.
Have you seen the where it got taken from, the Baker Brothers?
No.
I have watched the movie, but I can't remember.
Oh, the Baker Brothers with one of the Bridges brothers.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is Lloyd Bridges
father,
right?
I think it's... Yeah,
Lloyd Bridges is their father.
I think it's both the brothers. I think both Bridges...
Isn't it three of them, or am I thinking about the Skarsgårds?
Yeah,
the Skarsgårds
are three.
Yeah. Oh, there's four Skarsgårds, right? Plus the father, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the fourth one that no one talks about. That's trapped in a cellar. It's very basket case. But we don't want to...
What's his name?
The basket case guy?
The fourth.
Jed, isn't it?
Jed.
Okay, so Baker Brothers. I've got a feeling it's both... the Fabulous Baker Brothers, from Alien.
What do you look for?
It is. It's Bo Bridges and Jeff Bridges with Michelle Pfeiffer.
Okay. I do remember. They're piano players, right?
Yeah. And that's where Michelle Pfeiffer's singing on top of the piano, and It's classic. I mean,
this movie tends to there's a lot of parodies of classics in it. There's a Rocky parody in it. There's a Superman parody in it. There's one about Gone with the Wind. Unlike the second movie, Hotshot Part 3, which we will do at some point, so we're not going to talk extensively about that. But I noticed today, within 15 minutes, that the second one is a parody of action films, just of action films. A paradise. Like, it opens, I think it's, what's the one with Van Damme, classic, Bloodsport? Is it Bloodsport? Yes. When they do the entire sequence. Which, by the way, it's a great area, because was it, the plot line of the second one is mainly Rambo 2 or 3? 2. I think, two. When he's in the temple.
Yeah.
I mean, just the temple sequence in the sequel is just hilarious, mate.
I haven't watched it in a while, so I can remember it quite well, but...
I'm regretting the decision I made today. So at some point, maybe we leave some space, or maybe we'll surprise everybody, and when we get back in May, on the second week of May, we'll do that. Going back to this movie, I forgot about DNA shared with Two and a Half Men. And as much as Two and a Half Men is a very formulaic show, I'm sorry, but I'm going to admit it publicly. For what it is, if you look at it, like if you look at the early seasons with John Cryer and Charlie Sheen, as NPC and as inappropriate and as dumb as it is, it was still Chuck Lorre behind it. And he knows what he's doing. Just read any of his cue cards or vanity cards or whatever you want to call them. If you catch them at the end of The Big Bang Theory or Two and a Half Men, the man knows how to write. He's not stupid. So he's making a product, and he was making a product that was actually quite funny at the beginning. And John Cryer and Charlie Sheen, you know, riff off each other quite a bit in this. What's the name of the character John Cryer plays? Wash Out. And another character that was a recurring character on the show as well that is in this, and I completely forgot because you barely see him without the pilot mask, the oxygen mask that you would have when you're on a fighter jet, is Ryan Stiles.
Mm-hmm.
He plays mailman in this. Yeah. And the moment he takes it off, you see his features. It's like, oh, shit, that's him. But I didn't pick up on it at the beginning. Yeah. I picked this up later.
But we've also got a pretty pink crossover here as well.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so we've got Kirstie Swanson.
I don't think Charlie and John Cryer, John Cryer's character, meet each other. They're in the same movie, but they never meet each other.
They do. In the bunk, the bunk room scene. Because and they meet each other, and he's got the wall-eyed vision, which is just a fishbulb lens on the top of the camera. Yeah.
What are you talking about? In this movie. I'm talking about.
Pretty in Pink.
In Pretty in Pink, they never meet.
Oh, no. What, you mean Kirstie Swanson and...
Kirstie Swanson and John Cryer.
I'm talking about John Cryer and Charlie Sheen.
Charlie Sheen is in Pretty in Pink.
Yes, he is in one sequence, isn't he?
Is he?
Isn't he?
I don't believe so.
No, he's in... He's in...
St. Elmo's?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off?
He's in Ferris Bueller. He's the fella. Yeah. Which, by the way, John Cryer wasn't in that, so fuck this thread.
No. Yeah, I was going to say, John Cryer and Kirstie Swanson definitely do meet because she's Duckett.
Yeah. And she's... I got to say that some jokes fall flat in this, and there's a moment in which...
Including the the flat-chested joke...
Yeah, it comes from nowhere, and it's doing a decent bit. Like the drill sergeant from Full Metal Jacket. That's what that's riffing on, but it's gratuitous, you know.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I probably liked that, obviously, because there's a chick with a bra. Like, of course, that's what that was, you know, targeting.
And it's Kirstie Swanson.
Yeah, and she's pretty as well. But what is she, Officer Kowalski? Is that her name in this?
Yeah,
Officer Kowalski.
But I did still have a little bit of a smile and a chuckle to myself when it's like, you're the best man for the job. You know, things like that still gave me a smirk.
Yeah, it's just that particular sequence wasn't that funny. I mean, Lloyd Bridges, again, he's got some lines in this, dude. There's a moment in the third act of this movie when he loses his hat at sea. Yeah. I wrote it down, man. I wrote it
down. Oh, man.
He's asking for the entire vessel to turn around. He goes, but sir, we can't do this. Like, okay, just put Rabinowitz in a life raft and move him, get him to circle the area until we get back. Like, it's like, but what about, just put some food in the life raft. It's just fucking, he's really funny. He's really, really funny. He's a veteran. He was in Airplane. He was in most of Jeep Abraham stuff, as well. Yeah. He was in Seinfeld. There's a lot of actors that keep up. Like, there's an actor in this who's Kevin Dunn. Kevin Dunn plays
Lieutenant Commander Block.
Yeah, but Kevin Dunn, I remember him particularly from that's personal. But I'm a Seinfeld fan. I treasure Larry David's writing in any way, shape, or form. So of course I'm gonna. But any other Seinfeld fan that's listening to this probably remembers him in an episode. He's a great character actor, and he plays a guy that reconnects with Jerry. So Jerry doesn't really, he doesn't really want to go out with him or whatever. They meet at a cafe, and within minutes, it turns out that this guy is a douchebag. Like, he's an asshole. And he's unbearable, and he plays that character really well. And every time you see him, he plays someone who's somehow grating, But that's Kevin Dunn. He plays Block in this. He plays the guy with an agenda. There is a sequence towards the end, right before the end of this movie, when he's coming clean to Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
And he's congratulating him as well. And he goes, he's got a wound on his chest, and he goes, oh. And when he goes, oh, he's getting a blood infusion from the guy next to him.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the guy next to him starts deflating. Now, I looked at that guy, and I kept thinking, holy shit, it's got to be him. It's got to be him. Now, if you remember The Walking Dead before it turned sour, there was an actor
that played... You thought it was Eugene.
I thought it was Abraham. This is what you're thinking of. Abraham is the guy. Look at it. His name was... I can't remember the name of the actor, but just type in, anyone listening to this as well, just type in Abraham Walking Dead and look at that guy's face. And then I took 30 years off him and I thought, it's got to be him. So, you see him?
Yeah, he is Michael Cudlitz.
Okay.
Cudlitz?
Am I right in thinking that he looks exactly like the dude that deflates in this?
He has the same facial features,
yeah. But then I went, and his career started in 89, and I was so disappointed when I saw that it wasn't him. This happens to me more than once, and I hate it. Like, it's rare, because usually I'm really good at spotting some facial features, and I remember name of actors and everything. Anna's, she says that it's one of my pointless superpowers, but in this instance, I failed.
Yeah.
How do we tackle this?
Oh, well, we haven't had the question, but anyway.
So, Ricky, when did you first watch this movie?
This was one of those films that, again, because of my family having Sky, and it was on Sky Movies, I didn't get to see Hot Shots in the cinema. I got to see it at home, and that's where this did blow up, this movie. It blew up on the video market. It blew up on TV reruns. And I saw it then, and I thought it was super duper funny.
Awesome. Umba, what was your first watch through of this? Remember, this is 1991.
Oh, man. I definitely went to the theater to watch this.
Yeah.
Because I remember that going to the theater was either, was either to cultivate, this obsession with the medium. Like, I remember there was times in which I went to see Delicatessen on my own. I went to see, and I was quite young, I went to see Akira on my own when it came out.
Yeah.
But this one was more of a movie. It was a date movie. So early dates. So you take a girl. I would take a girl to watch a movie like this. And I can't remember which one back then. But it was a date
movie.
Which girl? I can't remember which girl.
Okay.
I was a good looking lad at some point. But but at the same time, like if there was a Naked Gun movie coming out, I was going to the movies to watch it.
Naked Gun 2.5, wasn't it? Was released the same year.
Yeah.
Which
and
also
it's still
comes
Jim Abrahams as well.
Yeah.
Which goes to show why this movie's good, because it's him. It's him. Yeah. He either wrote them or directed them or both. So, I mean...
Well, he did separate from that team, didn't he? So, because it was the original three.
From the world in general last year in November.
From the, you're the original writing crew.
He was part of that team up until, I think, Naked Gun Part 1. Mm-hmm. And then he separated to do this movie. So, and then subsequently Hot Shots Part 2.
Yeah, but he was the soul of all of this movies, man, including Airplane.
But what we've got to look at is, 1991, there was a number of movies which were being released. In fact, the summer of 1991, so this is July, I think it was released in the UK, I think was the only time we had two parody movies done in the same year, in the same summer area.
Which were?
Hot Shots Part 1, as well as Naked Gun 2.5. So I think that was the only two, I think it's the only time we've had two parody movies in at the same time.
What was it called? The Smell of Fear, the second one, 2.5. That was the tagline of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to have to do Leslie Nielsen at some point. We're going to have to cover her.
One of the key things about this movie as well is Leslie Nielsen was approached to play Admiral Benson, but he turned it down.
Yeah, he would have suited the role as well.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, for me, I saw it in the cinema. I was 16. Wow. It's crazy. So, I think it was, I really enjoyed the movie at the time, but I was dumb and young. So,
yeah, the first part's still around, but the second part's long gone now.
Yeah.
The young part.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, you know, you're the oldest.
I didn't say it this time.
this time. I'm the middle child of this endeavor. What was I going to say, man? It's impossible to tackle this movie in any sensical order because there is no... I mean, you could argue that this is much more of a plot than Loaded Weapon.
And
it's funnier. It is funnier in any way, shape, or form. There are things that bothered me, but it's a thing of the time, and you're going to love this bit, Ricky, because I ride. I've been riding all my life. Since I was 14, I've been riding motorbikes, lost my license twice, had several accidents, and I'm still riding because there's no other way to get around for me. Anyone that rides would understand that. A motorcycle is a motorcycle, but I fucking hate it when they get stunt people to ride motorbikes. Because even if there's no stunt, and I'm thinking, Charlie Sheen, what the fuck, man? What the fuck? What about Tiger Blood, dude? What about the 8 balls? What about the craziness? You can fucking ride a motorbike? Are you for real? Yeah. And that was really bothering me because there's an entire there's a lot of motorbike riding in this, and every time you can definitely see that it's not him, and it does my head in. So that was bothering me, but then I kind of chuckled to myself because someone sent me a trailer of the Vanilla Ice movie. I think it was called Cool as Ice.
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
And in Cool as Ice, please, for anyone that doesn't know what I'm talking about, go on YouTube.
Don't promote it.
And just type in Vanilla Ice Impresses Girl Motorcycle. That entire bit, because he's on a motorcycle quite... And it's actually, you know what? Credit to Vanilla Ice, because at least whenever the motorcycle is not doing something stupid... more than crazy, it's actually him. All right, so you could say that he's not cool as ice, but cool as an ice pack, maybe. Cool as an ice cube, maybe. Cool as a breeze.
Oh,
cool as a cube.
We're gonna have to do Cool as Ice at some point.
No,
we're gonna, no. I think it's gonna be so bad it's good territory.
Not,
but anyway, in the bit that I'm talking about, there's a sequence that mirrors I assume that, because I can't remember that if that sequence happens in Top Gun, that he sees it on the horse. Do we see that in Top Gun?
In Top... it's hard because...
Does she ride a horse in Top Gun? Because if not, then Kula's eyes is riffing off this. Because it's the same scene. Like, so she's riding a horse in a like a penned area, and he's on the road on a motorcycle. He's trying to get her attention. Here, Charlie Sheen. Oh, sorry, the stunt double for Charlie Sheen does a bunch of, you know. But that wasn't even bothering me because, you know, who's going to do a headstand on a motorcycle? You need a stuntman to do that. But to literally ride the bike from stationary 10 meters forward, like he does in the entire area that is mocking. Dancing with Wolves.
Yeah.
Is it Dancing with Wolves or Dances with Wolves? I think it's Dances with Wolves. So there you go. It's fucking ridiculous. And that kept happening and it really bothered me. Again, we talked about this movie spoofing classic movies. And let's call it a faux pas because I didn't mention the immortal sequence that spoofs 9.5 weeks.
Oh, God.
Which is kind of topical at the moment with fucking Mickey Rourke. Being in everybody's social media. I don't even watch the show, whatever the fuck that was. Like, is it one of the
Big
shows
Brother?
For washed up? Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
I know that he got in trouble for saying a bunch of shit that he shouldn't have.
That's about as much as I know.
Yeah, it's a shame that he got back. People forget, man. That guy was on top of the world. He was on top of the world.
Just remember Angel Heart.
Yeah, that was the film I was going to reference as well. Angel Heart was excellent. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a masterpiece.
Amazing movie.
It's a masterpiece.
But what I found really good about that scene is that as much as it may have annoyed you about the motorcycle element being a stuntman, the gymnast that they had on top of the horse was hilarious.
Yeah.
She was so... And it was like every fourth scene... was definitely a stunt person.
Of course.
Every fourth scene. And it just got funnier and funnier. And then the whole gymnast bit on the tree where you can see the bars.
Yeah.
And she's like leaping over. It was really funny. That was actually quite well done.
The landing was quite erotic.
But then the...
it depends on which part of the saddle she actually...
Hey, that's the second time we see a saddle in this movie.
Yep.
I don't know if you noticed the second time.
When he's carrying it onto the
jet. What the fuck?
It's just like, what the hell? Yeah. It's the same saddle.
Yeah. I was going to say the motorcycle over the speed bumps gave me
That's hilarious. Oh, yeah. That's funny. Yeah. That was funny. I almost woke up on it. Because I started watching like at 4 a.m. I woke up in the middle of the night and I thought, just let me. So I was watching it with subtitles, not to wake her up. And some of the sound effects were in the captions. And dude, during the 9.5 weeks bit, when the drop from the ice cube lands in her belly button, like, the sound was plop. And I laughed. I laughed and woke Anne up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and she gave me like a disgruntled moan, dude. It was like, That's when I had to put the volume down. But just as a response, I just said, I just whispered to her, I just whispered, blah, 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 blah. She's already awake, so I chuckled some more.
Did you see?
You know what she said this morning? She goes, what were you saying? Nothing. I said nothing. She's going to hear this episode later.
Yeah.
Anyway, go on.
Did you see that there was a joke in this that was also in Loaded Weapon? And we said it didn't work in Loaded Weapon. But I think it was from this one. No. It wasn't even that one. It was the him coming out of the Native American tent.
Oh.
And you can hear the locks.
Yeah.
Being undone.
Oh my God! Is that the one with Whoopi doing it? Yeah, when she's opening six doors.
That didn't work in Loaded Weapon.
No, it didn't.
Can I tell you why I think it didn't work in Loaded Weapon? And I'm going to say that it did work in this. Is because you can't see the locks until you go to the interior of the tent.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you 100%. Hear them. You hear them going, and then he lets him in, and then you see the locks. Whereas in Loaded Weapon, you see her start undoing every single lock. And it's a very slow and almost pointless pointless scene, whereas it works in this one.
Now, you guys have noticed that for the social media reel on Instagram and on Facebook, I always put some music on in the background for the reel.
Yeah.
And in this instance, first of all, I bought that album when it came out. I bought it. That MC Hammer album, I fucking bought it when it came out, and I destroyed that tape. I absolutely adore that album, okay? I'm coming clean. That's it. It's fucking confession time.
I can imagine you singing, "I say we pray. Pray,
pray,
oh, pray, pray,
pray. You got to pray, pray just to just make to it make your it day." But anyway, I got too excited. Calm down, man. It was a long time ago. Calm down.
But tax you were
evasion,
talking about
tax evasion, you, tax evasion, tax evasion.
So you were talking about that you normally pick a song for a...
Pay your taxes, people. Pay your taxes. Don't do it. Stop.
Hammer time.
Whoa, but anyway. Whoa.
Crab dance.
But we do get it in
golden
the movie.
Pants, golden baggy pants.
Yeah.
All right, going back to what I was saying. This, okay, You Can't Touch This is the track that I picked because I did a quick search online and it was in the soundtrack. Now, the first section of this movie that I watched at 4 a.m., Like I said, I had captions on. I didn't have the volume too high, and I couldn't hear this bit. And I rewatched the movie downstairs, but from that point, so I missed that out because I saw it running in the credits as well. You Can't Touch This, MC Hammer. Is that blaring out of the headphones of the chief in the tent?
Yes,
okay. It is.
That's the result. Yes. All I could have done was to
rewind
on Disney Plus. By the way, if you need to watch. Thank you, Disney, for supporting the show. if Disney supported the show, the checks would have stopped coming in after last week's episode. Maybe they would have paid us more because it's about
maybe
pedophilia, right?
So. Maybe Disney are going to buy Universal next. So
You never know.
Hey, the checks started coming in when we mentioned Mickey Mouse gloves in...
Surreptitiously.
Right, we're also try again, men.
Surreptitiously.
There we go.
Surreptitiously. I've been mentioning Marvel quite a lot, so there you go.
But you do that on a fucking daily basis, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. All of us.
That's sewn into your personality.
I know.
It's in my DNA.
It's in your DNA.
Almost mutated.
Yeah, you have mutated.
it's totally gamma
into
radiation.
Mickey Mouse hands.
On a segue, I do love that gamma radiation is the reason for the Marvel Universe, and yet that would kill you in real life anyway.
It would.
100%.
100%.
We'll put it as part of your betray. Like, you really wanted superpowers.
He tried to do what happened in the Hulk. We're talking about the Eric Banner version, but oh my god, it didn't work.
He always wanted to tell people you wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Or covered in uranium.
Uranium.
At least it was just uranium.
You managed to somehow make it feel dirty. You're covered in uranium.
I know. I could have gone for any radioactive substance, and I went for uranium.
Oh, shit. Anyway, going back to this movie, many, many segues, and I wonder why. 44 minutes in, I feel like we didn't talk about this movie at all.
We've talked a little bit, little factoids here and there. So shall
interesting
we do
facts about Lloyd Bridges and his diving career?
Yeah.
Thank you, Steve, for that one. That was good.
Yeah. Shall we do?
If you haven't watched it, 1956.
You said 59 earlier, mate. You said 59 earlier.
Doesn't matter. 56, 59,
whatever.
You know, it's divisible by three, right?
Absolutely.
What?
No, we've talked about okay. So, does anybody realize where Topper Harley comes from?
No.
And Steve?
So, a Harley Topper was the only moped made by Harley Davidson.
They made a moped?
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, fuck. That's okay. That's a cool factoid, man.
Which is Topper
Can
Harley.
Can I see the page? Because you keep glancing at your notes. I want to see how many notes you've got. Can you show me today? Is it just one page? Turn the page. Two?
Pages. Is there,
how many pages, dude?
Is there a cringe graph on there as
How many pages?
I've got a fair few.
A fair few? What? On Art Shots?
Yeah.
How many notes did you take?
I just made some notes.
How many pages, mate? No, count them for me, please.
One, two, three pages. Yeah, what?
Listeners, Umbar's made barely any notes on this one, which is why he is now ridiculing.
No. I got a page.
Oh, you got a page.
So, the Chihuahua joke, the sit-down joke. That's funny.
Repeated.
Three times,
we are so scraping the boat. Okay, let's do this.
No,
Before we get a special guest in.
A special guest? Is this a special guest?
Oh, no. You know, he appears every so often when we get on the show.
Mr. Speaker. Yeah. Well, yeah. Just wait a second. Let's talk
about the movie for a change. Come on.
Yeah, because he's got three pages of notes, so...
Well, I've got more than three pages.
Yeah?
It's just I've got...
How many of those are about fucking Lloyd Bridges' diving career nobody gives a shit about?
I mean, four of them.
All right.
Come on.
Okay.
I can tell you about the planes which we used, because they're
fucking guns and planes.
That kind of stuff.
Guns and planes. But,
oh, my God.
Tell me the planes.
Okay, so...
Senor, the plane, senor!
Right. So the aircraft used for the American guys are actually a British plane.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was
formerly used by the Red Arrows as a training...
Red Arrows are the ones that do the flags in the sky? They're called Red Arrows?
Yeah.
They are called Red Arrows, right?
Yes. What else would they do?
Yeah.
Well, they're all professional military pilots.
Yeah,
but
of course.
They also do shows.
Possibly retired, right? But they do that.
But weirdly enough,
the
ones which are the Pakistani Air Force ones of the F-86.
Sorry. Pakistani Air Force?
Yes.
So all the planes used, yeah?
Yeah, Sabre Slayers.
Huh.
Yeah, which are basically the F-86 Sabres.
Are those the enemy?
Yeah.
Planes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, can I tell you that I was more concerned after, you know, after the initial baklava, pita, hummus, the pilots, right? I thought, how many are there? Because I was trying to understand the joke. Like, because I thought it was just four at the beginning. And I thought, is the joke that they're going to give, like, a different name to each pilot, but it's the same pilots? And at one point, I think it's Baba Ganoush, and God bless his soul, you know, killed in action. He goes, right before he gets blown to bits, he goes, shish kebab. And
yes.
I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then I started getting hungry for all of a sudden. I don't know why, but it's... And then I was concerned with the differences between shawarma and kebab. Because I think shawarma is Persian, right? Is it Persian, usually?
Yeah.
Then you have... You know, like, normally, for example, in Australia, most of the ethnic group that cooks that food is Lebanese. And you know that, right? Because you live there now, Ricky.
Yeah,
it's Turkish. And then I got concerned about, is kebab a misspelling? Or is that how it's spelled by the Persian community in America right now? So these are the hard-hitting questions that I need answers for,
I can see that this was rolling through your head as you were watching the finale of Hot Shots. I can feel
it was. Can you just type kebab?
No,
can you type kebab on the server, please? Steve is doing it. There you go. Steve, kebab, KABOB.
Yes. It's what a is dish. Kebab?
It's a dish?
Yeah. But it's kebab.
Where from?
So kebab is a North American and Canadian term for kebabs.
See? So it wasn't a typo.
No. It's just...
Yeah, it's different appropriation of culture. That's what that is.
You know what else is an appropriation of culture? It's this 1 out of 10 review done by Babina. Hi, Babina. October 19th, 1999. Hot Shots is not funny at all. Newspaper said Hot Shots is the mother of all films. I saw it and I tried my best to laugh, but it was not funny at all. I was bored all the time. If this film really was the mother of all films, then the film industry can say goodnight and stop producing. Maybe it's not my kind of humor. I know many others like this movie, but sorry, I cannot find it funny at all. Thank you, Babina.
Credit goes to Babina for not putting a fucking number at the end of his... And you know why? Because it's only you, Babina. It's only you, Babina.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Big shout out to John Cryer Ducky, who I detested on set as well.
Oh, my God. Fuck you, man. We're going to find you. Now, does anyone remember what the sticker on the outside of Topper's jet says?
No.
It says, how's my flying? Call 555-3535. And you guys know that I'm enough of a maniac that I tried several combinations for the first digits ahead of that this morning because I bought a bunch of credit for my holiday in Egypt so I could call international numbers. And twice someone picked up and I had to hang up.
Yes. Do you have those combinations? And do you want to?
There are so many reasons why that was deranged. I've got it on my history, my call history. I made 9 calls, and 2 people picked up at one point. But the number is 555-3535. So if you look online, obviously there's part of this number that is missing.
Yeah.
All right. So I had to try something. Anyway, the sticker says how's my driving on the thing.
Oh,
which, by the way, we do get the flashback throughout that entire dog chase sequence. We get the, and that's funny. That was very funny. Yeah. The flashback sequence with Ryan Stiles, in particular, when what's the name of the other guy?
Bill Irwin or Buzz?
The character when Buzz is struggling, you know, from anything from stapling a metal panel with a stapler gun.
Oh, that's yeah,
yeah. But there's a moment in which he falls into the cockpit face first, and Ryan Stiles goes, "Not now."
I'm going to send
there's also a very like Roger Rabbit moment.
Looney Tunes.
Looney Tunes are Roger Rabbit. He's trying to hold the wing together, and it stretches out.
But I'm going to send you a picture Bill Irwin, the guy who isn't Ryan Stiles in the airplane, whatever, the fighter jet. This guy, I was trying my hardest to figure out where do I know this guy from. I've heard this name several times. And he's like a bit actor. He appears in lots of different like single episodes of things.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept appearing on his IMDb in Sesame Street. And I was like, why do I know this guy? This guy is Mr. Noodle. Now, there's a little segment in Elmo's house where he goes, Mr. Noodle, all of this stuff. But if you look at the picture that I've just sent in our little WhatsApp group, that's Mr. Noodle. So Bill Irwin, the father of Topper, he is the guy from Sesame Street. So he's a character actor, he's a voice actor, he's appeared in lots of bit parts here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, but he was also played by, oh my God, Sesame Street Mr. Noodle had a different actor at some point, and that guy is also a character, that's fucked up actor. What's his name?
Mr. Noodle has been played by several people.
Yeah, but this guy always plays either the hobo or like a crazy person.
Yeah,
what's his name? The other guy.
The other guy is, hold on. Ooh,
he plays crazy really well.
Yeah. There he is. F- family member, Michael Jeter.
Where do I know him from?
Michael Jeter?
Yeah. He plays like a crazy... Oh, my God.
Michael.
Like in an asylum, usually. That's what I remember him. Like playing the crazy
I would
character.
Not be surprised if he was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, because lots of people came from one. Oh, Green Mile?
Green Mile.
Yeah, he was in the Green Mile, but he played that role in more than one movie, dude.
Yeah, no doubt.
For a reason. Yeah. He looks like he's fried, basically.
But, yeah, so he was in Jurassic Park 3. Jacob the Liar.
There you go.
Patch Adams.
Yeah. But he always plays the same character. Yeah,
yeah, there's a lot of stuff he was in. But, funnily enough, Mr. Noodles, and, you know,
he's akin to Clint Howard, the way he's casted and stuff. Yes. You know what I mean?
And I think... Yeah. With Mr. Noodles, there's been a lot of people who have taken that role. Like, Miss Noodle was Kristen Chenoweth, who is also well known for not only a lot of TV, but she was also the original Galinda, I want to say, in Wicked.
You're entering 1956. Lloyd Bridges was a diver territory.
Yeah, that's fine. But also, David Diggs was one of the Mr. Noodles. But my point is that Bill Irwin is definitely one of those character actors that you don't really think of because he's normally covered in makeup or has a fake mustache or a stupid wig or whatever. And in this sequence, I would say that him and Ryan Stiles, I wish I could see more of that. I wish half the movie was Ryan Stiles and Bill Irwin.
Dude, I wish I could see Ryan Stiles in everything. I mean, dude, this was before. This is 1991. I fell in love with Ryan Stiles' comedic style in The Drew Carey Show, dude. He played Lewis.
Did you see? Yeah.
That was 95, mate. That was 1995.
I fell in love with him because of the British
Whose line is it anyway? Yeah, because him and, oh my God, him and the bald dude, the older dude, they had chemistry, man.
Colin
Mochrie. Yeah. They had chemistry. That's proper.
And when Greg Proops was there as well.
That lineup was amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. But in regards to Stiles, he did come back in. Look, again, we need to go back to Two and a Half Men. It's impossible not to talk about that show, man. Because I actually didn't remember at all. Like, I did a rewatch during the pandemic. There was nothing else to watch. And I needed something past. You know, at the end of Tiger King, we just needed something, and I needed something. I'm doing the same thing now. I need to watch, like, if we finish work, we come home, we have dinner. Sometimes you don't feel like watching a movie. You need something from you like. And I'm going back to the stuff that I didn't like years ago. And one of the things that we're watching at the moment, myself and Anna, is we're rewatching Everybody Loves Raymond. And I go, no, wait. Dude, the early seasons of that show are fucking golden just because... Peter Boyle is fucking phenomenal in that, and so is Doris Roberts, the actress that plays Marie, which is their parents, basically, you know, and they're the antagonists in the show, you know. Plus Brett Garrett was amazing as well, the guy that played. But I needed to rewatch stuff like this to appreciate why it was popular. And obviously, you know, you got 22 minutes, there's a simple plot, some of the episodes have art or whatever, but I suggest that you dabble and go and take a look. Because actually, I completely dismissed this. I didn't think it was edgy. I hated it. I thought it was dog shit television. Well, was it really dog shit? If it went into syndication globally, was it really dog shit? By the statement, then, it means that Friends has some value.
So, I was about to say, you're giving positivity to Gilmore Girls. You're giving positivity to Dawson's Creek. You're giving positivity to a lot of films.
Those shows don't have Peter Boyle and Doris Roberts in it, though.
I mean,
there you go.
You haven't seen the show, so you can't.
I have seen enough, sir.
Yeah, but you haven't seen all of it. So,
I have fucking seen enough. If I said even Peter just Doyle when you fucking talk about it
in season 7,
oh my God,
right,
fuck
are you going to sit
fuck
down
you,
and
fuck this friendship?
Can we just get back to the movie at hand?
Oh my God, shut the fuck up, Steve.
Shut the fuck up, Boomba.
You're out of your element, Steve.
You're all out of your element. You don't know sitcom like I do.
Fucking argument here, man.
Yeah, I'm trying to stop us from arguing and get us back on track.
All right. Come on. Give us another factoid from page 3 of your notes.
Here's one for you, Umba.
Go. Don't look fucking cheesed off, man. You made the effort. I want page 3. What's on page 3?
So I'm going to mention the simple fact that the ambulance, after they pick up from the crash, it changes from a Ford to a Chevrolet. And it changes per scene through two different ambulances.
You know what? I fucking hate you, mate. I love you, but I hate you. Because, no. This is serious. This is a lot of effort you put into it. Next time...
Different number plates as well, mate.
Oh, I cannot wait for Hot Shots Part 2. You are going to have to list all the guns, Steve. I want a whole list of guns. I want how many lines.
He's gone fucking full, like, Sherlock Holmes on this. Like, so much attention to detail here. For Hot Shots. Anyway.
Well, you know. It's better to come prepared.
You know what?
I want six pages next time.
It is very impressive. It is very impressive because there's barely anything online about Hot Shots. And he's gathered all the factoids.
Yes.
No. I just want to say, actually, I want a serious conversation.
You want a serious conversation?
I want a serious conversation.
Are we going to go for a serious conversation?
So after Loaded Weapon, I was like, okay, Hot Shots, at least it's going to be better than Loaded Weapon. We're going to have fun with it. It's going to be funnier, all of that stuff. Watching Hot Shots, and this might be like giving away a little bit of what I might end up rating this with the rating, right? I felt like, am I now going to go and watch Naked Gun and be like, oh, it's not.
No, you're not.
But this is...
Leslie Nielsen.
But my point is that with Hot Shots, I thought Hot Shots, there's, you know... I'm going to go in, I'm going to love it, I'm going to come out, I'm still going to love it. This time I was like, oh, wow, the joke per minute or the joke per capita of this film is not that great. It's not that great at all. Am I going to end up all the spoof films from way back when? Like, if we do, like, a scary movie or something,
actual joke count, get count?
Well, no, stuff that I found funny. Like, the joke count is there, but stuff that I actually found funny wasn't as much as I remember. And I know that it's growing
absolutely.
Up and all that stuff.
I agree with that. Steve, how do you feel about that statement?
I completely agree.
Okay. Yeah. And that reinforces my regret for not doing a double bill today. Because I can tell you that just the first 15 minutes of Part 2, I was laughing harder. So there is something... Yeah, there's definitely... I think that resonated with us more as well for whatever reason. I can't put my finger on it, but
Rambo Part 2.
Well, yeah, that was the core of the movie, but it's actually, like I said earlier, it's really honing on something. Like, it's focusing on something. It's focusing on a genre. And I think that's, you know, like Loaded Weapon was doing that, but not as effectively, and kind of fell flat a little bit. But this one, the second one, partial. And I think whenever you mention Hot Shots to people, they kind of do, it's a chance for them to go part deux, you know what I mean? Like, just to say that. But I think it's the one that actually was funnier. It's a funny movie.
I'll give an example as well of what I'm talking about. I actually found the bit where Dead Meat is about to go on his flight and all the bad luck things that happened to him.
Oh my God.
That was funny.
It's fucking hilarious. Yeah. It's like, so I've got my plans to solve global warming.
I'll be fine. When I come back down.
What about your life insurance? Life insurance. You want to sign it now? It's like, I just broke my mirror. Which, by the way, there's another Seinfeld thread here. The actress that plays his wife is hated by every Seinfeld fan.
George's fiance.
It's Susan. And when I saw her, I was like, oh my God, it's Susan. It's the one that George kills because he buys cheap envelopes for the wedding. Yeah.
And
the glue
is
poisonous.
Yeah.
That's Larry David's writing. But you know that there's a story by Larry David, and apparently it's true, and it not only it's shared with the rest of the cast, nobody liked her. Nobody liked her on the show, and she was really hard to work with. Yeah. So that's the reason why they killed her off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's the reason why
and
they
that's
killed
why Susan every off. Week the storyline got worse and worse about how much everybody disliked her.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm. She was just very hard to work with. Simple as that. Steve, you were saying?
So I just love that with that end of that scene where he turns her around and she looks into a mirror.
Don't watch this.
It's hilarious.
Perfect.
It's but, really funny.
I will compare it now to a joke that didn't work for me. It may have worked for other ones. It's like, you got six bogeys heading towards you, and then Washout sneezes. Goes, oh my god, a dozen more, and a blimp, shiny blimp, and it's slowly moving. That didn't work.
There's a lot of John Cryer's delivery that is pretty shit. One of them is right before he falls off after hitting the back of the ambulance. That entire slapstick sequence was funny, but then the last line, which is meant to be a punchline from one of the cogs of that joke, which is him, he comes back into the frame and he goes, I ordered the veal piccata, and just falls over. I'm like, what the fuck, mate? That's not funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah, but he's funny. John Cryer's very funny. So.
Think he didn't suit the
role. And they gave him, you know, like the entire glasses thing with the fish in it at the end. Yeah. It's fucking, it's what it is. However, there is one thing he says that is very funny, just because I wonder how many takes he did. He pronounces the name of the procedure that he needs to have to sickly. Is it in your notes, Steve?
No, but I can.
Okay.
Because it goes through the rear.
I don't even know if it's a real procedure, but it just sounds very difficult to pronounce, so I'm not going to try to do it. And he does it flawlessly. So I wonder if there was a first take or just, you know, one of 10 or 20. But anyway, guys, do we recommend collectively for people to actually go and rewatch this and not make the mistakes that we made today because of me? They should do the double bill, back to back.
They should.
And both of them are on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
So if you forgot to renew your subscription for Disney Plus, you can enjoy many movies from. That's what we're many, many movies. No, I'm just saying. Just renew. It's a world of entertainment. Just, you know.
Boy.
I must say, their horror section is getting better and better.
Yeah, it's getting better.
It is getting better.
Yeah. Marvel's there. Like, it's okay. It still sounds like some kind of advertorial. Ooh,
a big advertisement. While we're still advertising here in Australia, ESPN is now on Disney Plus, which means that you get not only AEW wrestling.
Like we're getting paid, man.
Yeah, right. But you also get basketball, and you get baseball, and you get ice hockey. So, like, on the weekends. Oh, my God.
Holy shit. But you can also watch the Mighty Ducks, right?
Yeah, you can watch the Mighty Ducks.
See, so it's,
while watching ice hockey, you know. And AEW.
Where are the checks, Mickey? Where are the fucking checks?
And the good thing is, with the UK, we get the stars section. Because I don't think the States gets that.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I heard that the programming, like, globally, it's, you know, it may change, but it's still very rich. You know what I mean? There are so...
Because of Bluey. Bluey is also on.
No, fuck, I didn't know because I don't have any children. But hey, maybe this will inspire me. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can we cut that out? Let's cut that out.
No.
Oh boy.
We work for the angry, hungry mouse.
I work for Goofy. I don't know who you're talking about.
But the classics are there as well, right?
My God, let's move on.
And don't forget, Andor season 2 next week.
Bullshit aside, like, it's not that you can get the entire Star Wars catalog. Oh, you can. Fuck, I just checked. You can. And also, the Alien trilogy's in there.
And the Predator.
Oh, and every version of Pete's Dragon and almost every version of Snow White that's coming soon.
Come on. You know what? If you're watching Daredevil on it, you can't get the Netflix show on Disney Plus now, I think. Can you get the previous seasons of Daredevil on it?
Yeah, you can. Yeah.
No.
At least over here. Yeah.
You don't say.
Yeah. All the Netflix ones, you know, Defenders are, what was it called? The Defenders?
Defenders, Jessica Jones.
Jessica Jones.
Luke Cage.
Lucas Cage.
Luke Cage.
Me and
even the action stuff, like you can get the Die Hard series on it. I think you can.
You can get Die Hard and Die Hard 2. And even Die Hard 5.
Oh, even the one that I haven't seen. You know, the one that I won't see, where it's his son.
It's ratings time.
Finally.
Because I tried earlier, I sounded like Zed from Police Academy. Like,
let me help you with your bag, man.
And you know, he's got a Mickey Mouse joke, man. He's got a Mickey Mouse because he gets the watch, right? It's a Mickey Mouse watch. Goes, I want that money. Okay, who wants to go first? Ricky, you should go first because you picked this movie.
Okay, I am going to say, would I watch this again? Of course I would watch this again, but that is not going to affect my rating today. I am giving this a 5.3 out of 10. It was very hard not to give this a lower score, but thankfully there were quite a few jokes that still hit the right funny bone for me. 5.3. I think it's going to be slaps in the face with a microphone.
nice
very nice, Steve.
So I'm going to give it a 5, and this is 5 Foland Nat T. Mark 1s, which are the fighter jets from the British, which have been used on the carrier, which was number 81, which no US service carrier has ever had.
Are you reading the whole of your last page?
You have to. You fucking have to.
And I just love the fact that it's called SSS's.
Oh yeah, we didn't call that SSS's.
The SSS's.
It's really, really funny. But it falls short. It's not part two.
Okay.
I still like parts of it, but to be honest, this is a movie which I'll watch again at some point, but I'll do it with friends and probably a few drinks.
Absolutely.
Like cool, shots. Cool. A lot of shots.
Cool.
Hot
cool.
shots.
We did forget to mention that there are many ways to cook breakfast. And I am going to Egypt next week. I checked the weather. And at one point, and I've experienced hot weather when I was living in Australia for many years. I've been through, you know, a couple of instances in which there were like hot summers on record, you know, where you would praying for shade if you were stuck in the middle of the road and there was no trees. We're talking about 44 degree weather. And I checked one of the days, which is 2 days after we arrived in Sharm el-Sheikh in the Nabk area where I'm going diving, the temperature will be at 9 a.m., 39 degrees. That feels like 47. And you know what? I don't give a fuck. That's what I want, okay? But at some point, if it gets too hot, I will ask Anne to call me Wawa Tukina.
Okay, I'm just going to say one thing.
Oh, my God.
Don't is make that another the fucking same plane, mistake.
Dude? Is it another plane?
No, just going to say, don't make the same mistake as last time and sunburned. Use that factor 50.
Hey, you may want to be Gamma Ray Man. I'm Lobster Man, all right?
You're going to be skin cancer.
I'm going to be Melanoma Man. That's what fucking, that's terrible. That's terrible. He wanted to be Lobster Man.
And now he is brown all over with black spots.
It's time to operate. Okay, so that was a terrible Zoidberg. I give this... I hate doing this. I hate doing this show sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I hate doing the show. And the reason why is because I think your rating was a 5, Ricky.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
5 Steve, point whatever.
5 point whatever. Steve, your rating was 5. A hard 5, wasn't it?
Yeah, hard 5.
Yeah. I hate it when we're in agreement. I don't like it. I want conflict. I need friction.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh. That's how you make fire, dude. Friction. technically just smoke, but anyway. This is a five. It's a hard five. Edible earplugs. Let's go full circle with this episode.
Yeah.
Jesus, I can still taste them in my mouth.
How about when they exited? Can you still taste them?
Can I just point out the fact, mate? Can I point out the fact that I cannot remember if they were pulled out of my friend's ears?
What's it?
Yeah, I have no idea. I just remember, I don't even know what they tasted like. I just remember swallowing them and just going, done, to the person that gave them to me. And then opening my mouth going, see, I swallowed it. That's it, whatever it was. And then they were in shock and then laughter. But anyway, whatever. I told the story already. Next week, we won't be around. You will miss us. And you need to go and listen to our previous episodes. And yeah, as much as I was kidding, just go and give us a follow. Not even a like. Just follow us. Just be a creep and follow us. And on that note, this was Umba.
This is Ricky.
And this is Steve.
Bye!
Goodbye.